just the sheer optics of it, it's just another level with that fastball that comes out of his hand. It's truly just, if you could ever see it, if you see it live, it's amazing to watch. It's like art, poetry, the best way I could describe it.
Welcome to episode 276 of Alberta Dugout Stories, the podcast. I'm Joe McFarland. It's crazy how we can go from nice sunny weather one week to a blizzard the next. Well, welcome to May in our province. Let's get to the news and lots of big ticket items to get to. We'll start in Major League Baseball, where we're starting to see some progress with Calgary's Michael Soroka. He made two starts against the Minnesota Twins over the past week, and while they were both no decisions, there were a few positives to take from both starts. On April 25th, he allowed two runs on four hits and two walks while striking out one in five innings of work. 5 days later, Soroka allowed two runs on three hits and two walks while striking out three and four-plus innings. He's lowering his ERA with each outing and seems to look more comfortable out there as well. His next start is likely Monday against Tampa Bay. Staying in the bigs and former Medicine Hat Mavericks hurler Jacob Webb has found himself a home and a role with the Baltimore Orioles. He's performing well out of the bullpen, going 0-1 with a 2.03 ERA in 15 relief appearances. He also picked up his first save Tuesday night. In the minors, a shout-out to Vauxhall Academy grad and Buffalo Bison slugger Damiano Palmigiani, who put an exclamation point on his April with a three-run shot against Indianapolis on Tuesday.
And swung on, there it goes, deep to left field, way back, and that ball clears the wall, and just like that, we have a tie game. It's a game-tying three-run homer here in the top half of the ninth inning. Damiano's fourth home run of the season. RBIs 12, 13, and 14.
Palmigiani is now hitting .242 with four homers and 14 RBI this season. Dogs Academy grad Matt Lloyd is putting up some solid numbers with the AA Springfield Cardinals this season. On Sunday, the lefty came up big against Arkansas. Interestingly enough, against Vauxhall and Lethbridge Bulls grad Ben Anishko.
And Lloyd cranks one out towards right center field. How about four? Off the Highland Dairy sign and into Homer's Landing with a grand salami at Hammonds Field. The Cards are back to life. It's 8-6.
Lloyd is now hitting .256 with three homers and 16 RBI. But the big story of the week, hands down, had to be Dogs alum Matt Wilkinson. As we've mentioned on previous shows, he is off to an amazing start with Cleveland's single-A team, the Lynchburg Hillcats. And yes, he managed to one-up himself once again last Thursday night with a six-inning gem, allowing no hits and just one walk while striking out 15 Myrtle Beach Pelicans.
Matt Tugboat Wilkinson. We're not going to beat around the bush anymore. Now he kicks and fires. Good slider, rung him up. Tipped into the glove, and the second strikeout for Tugboat. Here's the 0-2. Got him. Check swing, did he go around? Yes, he did. And delivers. Got him!
Tugboat was named the Carolina League Player of the Week for his efforts, and we're going to chat with Dogs Academy pitching coach Joe Sergent in a moment about the lefty's performance to this point. On the college scene, the regular season is starting to wind down, and among the notable performances from this past week, Vauxhall Academy grad Calum Haney is up to his old tricks with the University of Mary. The Lethbridge Bulls infielder went 10-for-17 with four doubles, two homers, seven runs scored, 10 RBI, and four stolen bases. For his efforts, he was named the Northern Sun Baseball Player of the Week. Dogs Academy grad Kale Seitz hit three home runs and drove in seven during the week for Campbellsville University. He's now up to .353 with three homers and 23 RBI. Fellow Dogs alum Tucker Zadunik had six hits, including a homer and four RBI for Reinhardt University. He's now hitting .379 with 17 home runs and 67 RBI. And another dog, Jimmy Dion, is having himself a year with Howard College. He's hitting .413 now with five homers and 34 ribbies in just 30 games. Prairie Baseball Academy alum Josh Kabayama has been on a tear of late with the University of Mount Olive. He's moved his average to .319 with 30 RBI and 9 stolen bases. Now the postseason awards are starting to trickle in. Congratulations to Dogs Academy alumni Ben Hoshizaki and Jacob Robleski on being named First Team All-Conference and First Team All-Region with Chandler Gilbert Community College. Both were also recent guests here on the show. Their teammate and fellow dog, Ryder Hancock, was named second team All-Region. And Calgary's Cohen Aiken has been named first team All-Conference after yet another impressive season with Lindsay Wilson College. The senior went 5-5 on the campaign and finished third in the conference with 94 strikeouts. As more awards roll out, we'll be keeping you posted on social media and here on future episodes of the pod. Over to the CCBC now, and it's been a busy one because not only did teams play last weekend and then they played a midweek series and now they're getting ready for another weekend tilt, they've also had to deal with coordinating schedule changes and venue changes thanks to this blast from Old Man Winter. By the time you hear this, the standings and results will likely have changed, so I won't go through the numbers. But what I will say is that it's turning into a bit of a dogfight, especially in the middle of the pack, as all three of Alberta's teams are hovering around the 500 mark right now, and a good series or a bad series here or there seems to be swaying things quite dramatically. We will keep an eye on things over the next week or so and have more CCBC guests coming up next week, and of course heading into May long weekend, which is when the CCBC championships are slated for Lethbridge. One more note, and that comes from Jays Care Foundation. They've announced their 2024 Field of Dreams grant recipients, and one project in Alberta will be getting some funding. Congratulations to Bow Ridge Little League in Calgary, as they've been working on some fundraising for a major upgrade project at the Tuscany Springs Diamonds. We'll be looking to do a profile story on them in the weeks ahead. On to this week's guests now, and it's a bit of a coach's corner of sorts. We'll have Baseball Alberta women's coach Chris James join us in a few minutes to talk about the coming year. But as mentioned, Matt Wilkinson is having himself a year with the Lynchburg Hillcats. They are the single-A affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians, and Tugboat has taken the baseball world by storm. After striking out 26 batters in his first three starts, he took it to the next level April 25th, throwing a no-hit six-inning gem where he struck out 15. Check out these stats. In five starts this season, he's now 3-0 with an ERA of 0.35, and he has 46 strikeouts in 25 2/3. To go along with all of that, the 21-year-old has become an internet sensation, and he's become must-see TV in Okotoks and across Western Canada. Dogs Academy pitching coach Joe Sergeant is among those keeping a close eye on the left-hander's outings, and we chatted this week about the young man known simply as Tugboat. Joe, thanks so much for joining us back here on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
What's it like sitting in the Dogs clubhouse each night when you know the Tugboat is going to be taken to the mound?
You know what? It's the same thing when I got to see it when he was here in Okotoks. And it's, you know, you're going to get the best out of him every single night. You know you're going to be in the ball game throughout it. You know you're going to get maximum compete level out of him. And at the end of the day, your chances are you're probably going to have it up on the winning side.
What's impressed you the most as you've watched these outings unfold?
I don't know if it's much about impressing, but I think it's like being him finally getting to show the world and showing all of minor league baseball what we've been seeing up here in Okotoks and in Canada for since he was a 12, 13-year-old. You know, like I feel like too many times guys like him don't get a chance for whatever reason. And like when we're all just like, man, like this guy's going to be in the big leagues, and just somebody has to give him a chance. And I'm so glad that Cleveland gave him a chance, because he's showing it right now.
What was it about him in the early go? I mean, obviously when you look at him, you don't necessarily think athlete right off the bat. And that was the first thing I thought of, but you look at his stuff and it's undeniable, and it's been undeniable for a long time. So what was it in a scout's mind or a college's mind or a pro guy's mind saying it's not worth that shot, or it's there's a little bit of hesitation there that you could hear that you saw from the onset?
I think just basically like the wave of baseball, what it is, right? Right. And, you know, like the analytical side of it, you know, there's good and bad things with analytics and stats and what it is. But at the end of the day, and you look at them and like, when you look at scouting, they always say, and the age old saying is, looks good in a uniform for guys getting drafted. And you're like, man, like that guy's not very good. But, you know, some guys, they look at like, you know, height, weight, and then they look at like if they're 6'3", 6'4", and 220 and they look like they're filled out, then scouts love that. Sometimes you got to look within that. The different side of it and look at like compete, how's ball, how people's, you know, how can they get outs? Can they throw strikes? do they bring that hunger to them and stuff like that? And that, and a lot of times that gets lost in the scouting world at the beginning of the time.
I want to go back in time a little bit because, I mean, here he is as a 12-year-old. I remember him pitching in that Little League World Series, and I think it was 15 strikeouts over five innings. Like, yeah. He was just absolutely dynamite. When did you first take notice of him, and what were your first thoughts?
You know, I kind of saw him, and it's kind of nice because we have Jeff Duda down there, and, like, Jeff was, you know, same deal. Like, right, Little League World Series, BC – kind of the same kind of story kind of going through. So we got to kind of see that story of it. And then afterwards, you know, so seeing him already there, we kind of had a little bit of a background. But, you know, I didn't really, like, they'd tell me about Tugboat and, you know, this guy, Tugboat, you know, and, like, I'm like, who is this guy? I don't even know who this guy is. And then Alejandro Cazorla, he's like, you got to take a look at this guy. So I go down and Jeff and Lou are there, and, like, I walk in, and, like, Jeff and Lou are like, you got to look at this guy, because they know I'm just a sucker for left-handed pitching. They're like, you got to look at this guy. This guy's the next big thing. And I was like, okay. And I played catch with him. And in the moment I played catch with him, I knew it was like, wow, this guy is completely different. And I got a coach, Sirocco, when he was around that age too. And it was nice having him. So I could always draw on him. And as soon as I saw Matt, it was just like, man, this guy's going to be special.
So what was it that made you think that? Was it the way that the ball came out of his hand? Was it the way that it hit your mitt? What was it that made that light bulb turn on for you?
I think the way the ball comes out of his hand, like, it's just, we call it the invisible. And it's just, he's got a certain run and life on his ball that you don't see in regular pitchers. Whereas just like there's just another gear that comes out of his hand. Like, it almost looks like the ball goes up and like in a rise, like a rise ball in fast pitch. But, you know, in physics, they obviously can't do that. But it just, the sheer optics of it, it's just another level with that fastball that comes out of his hand. And it's truly just, if you could ever see it, if you see it live, it's amazing to watch. It's like art. Poetry. That's the best way I could describe it.
Well, and it's one of those things that, as I've talked to different guys about it, they mention the fastball, and it's not like the numbers are eye-popping. They'll look at it and say, okay, that's 89, 90, 91. But hitters will tell you it looks 95, 96, 97. How does Matt able to do that? Have you been able to kind of figure that part out yet?
Sometimes, you know what? It's just God-given. It's just kind of like it's a special, like, that's where the separator is, right? So you can do like as much training as you can possibly do. But at the end of the day, if you can have that kind of like action on your ball, it's sometimes, like I said, I know it's like kind of a cheesy thing to say, but sometimes it's just a talent at that point. It's just talent.
So take us into him arriving in Okotoks, and you're trying to help be a coach. Are you coaching him? Like, is there much in the way of coaching that you're able to provide for somebody who's got that kind of talent? Or is it more of a, let's just nurture what you got and try to bring the most out of that?
I think it's the second part. I think just nurturing and getting the most out of what he can do. Like, and he got to play for Jeff for, you know, 3-4 years coming in the academy. And so, you know, he was able to bring that high level experience, a professional experience. And then you had Lou, who's a World Series guy and played 20 plus years, you know, throughout professional baseball. And, you know, he's got him. And then he's got me, like, at the back end with the college team, like, being able to be like, okay, now you're facing college hitters. This is the next step and stuff like that. So he had all this high level of like extra nurture of like, this is what you're going to see at the next level. This is how you prepare for yourself at the next level. So to be able to get him to that level, because we already knew he had the physical tools and stuff like that, just taking him to the next level. And I got to give kudos to like Jeff and Lou of what they did there. Like, cause like definitely we got to reap the rewards of that on the college team, those 3 championships we've had with him and stuff like that. And now he's doing it in Cleveland.
One of the things that I've remember, or what I have always heard, is like you got to be businesslike, for example, when you're on the mound. You got to be stone-faced. And yet, one of my biggest standout memories of Tug was the 2022 WCBL Championship, those last couple of innings where he shuts the door on Moose Jaw. And it wasn't the performance itself. It wasn't the pitches that stood out to me. It was he's not afraid to show the emotion side as well. Like, he's out there yelling and screaming and showing the happiness and the agony and every bit of that. Did you ever try to stop him from doing that, trying to get him to be a little bit more, I'll call it, businesslike?
No, never. I like, his compete level is off the charts in that situation. And I think just in those situations, when it gets to playoffs, and you'll see it in the majors and you see it in any sport, right? When you get to the playoffs and the finals and you're so close to achieving that goal and that dream that you have, that the emotions are going to come out. And I feel like that's totally acceptable. As long as you're not showing up the other teams and stuff like that. It's not so much it's for him personally being like, yeah, I'm better than you. It's more like, he's like, yes, you know, we're so close to this. He keeps, you know, and so that ability to show his emotion in those moments. And it doesn't really, you don't really see it much out of him, because he kind of keeps it close to the vest in that situation. But I mean, like I said, like, you're so close to getting that goal, the emotion sometimes comes out, and like, that's what I love, knowing that it's in there. And like, he wants the world to say, no, this is my compete. Look at everybody, look at scouts, look at teams. This is what I can do for you if you give me the opportunity.
Does anyone like to strike out batters more than Matt Wilkinson?
I don't think so. It's a funny thing, because like, I was talking to, we won it in 2022 and he closed it out, and like, and Moose Jaw was a great team that year, just a phenomenal team that year. And I'm working with Lombard, our catcher, and we're like, okay, throw this to this guy and this to this guy. And as every time he'd like, Lombard would like call something and Matt would just shake it off, and he would just go, fastball down the middle. And that was like literally the last two innings of that. And that's where there's just that oozing confidence that he has. It was just like, this game's over. It's his. Like, he was going fastball down the middle, challenging you and going with it. He's like, and he's ready to strike you out. He was in full on attack mode. It is probably one of my favorite stories I've had. Talking to Lumbee about that, because like I said, we were trying to figure out like these great Moose Jaw hitters out, and he was just like, nope, fastball down the middle. And we're like, okay. And then it was happening. So
on that point, do you foresee a moment where he's going to have to add to his repertoire? Is there a moment, or is he already starting to do that you're noticing, where he's going to mix in that change or that curve or whatever he's got down his sleeve?
I think he's already doing it. I think his off speed is already there. It just, as he moves up through the system, you know, he's going to use it probably a little bit more, just because the hitters are a little bit better at every level. But it's there. Like I think there as a high school and a college guy, he was able to just kind of throw a fastball, because he didn't really need those two pitches, even though they're there. Mm-hmm. And now that he is able to throw those pitches, that's why you're seeing 15 Ks and six innings and all these, you know, video game like numbers that the world is seeing, like, oh my God, who is this guy? And like, meanwhile, we're here in Okotoks being like, yeah, we've seen this since 12 years old. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
It's funny too. You mentioned the physical side of it and the mental side of it, and he's obviously got that dog in him. Talk a bit about his mindset going into it. Is he I'll call it a student of the game? Is he a guy who brings in information, or is he a guy that's just like, I'm out to prove everybody wrong, and this is how I'm going to do it?
I think his demeanor and his ability to be a student, even though he has all that talent and stuff like that, he is a student like of this game and stuff like that. And like I said, if you look at any type of interview he does, anything that he does, he's always about team. He's always about family. He's always about like, what's it going to take, how he can compete to help his team win. And I feel like that gets lost in a lot of the world and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, he's a lefty with some movement, with a lot of heaviness to his fastball, as an example. It's something many in baseball want, period. So I know it's early and I know that it's hard to put a crystal ball on him, but is MLB the expectation at this point with Matt Wilkinson?
God, I hope. I mean, I don't know about expectation, but I hope that happens. I really hope he deserves it. I think he deserves it more than anybody I've ever seen, being what he's gone through and stuff like that. I feel like he deserves it more than anything else. You know, and like, I keep going back to it. Like, I'm so happy that he's getting the chance to do that. Cause you look at him on leaderboards above, you know, Paul Skeens, who was the number one pick overall last year, and Jack Leiter, who was the number two pick 2 years ago, you know, those are the guys he's competing with, and he's got better numbers than them. So it's just, he deserves to be up there. You know, so as much as expectation, I think it's more of like deserving. He deserves to be there.
Mm-hmm. As mentioned as well, between you and Jeff and Lou, you've all been there. You've done that. You got the t-shirt. So what do you see in Matt's game that needs to be worked on if he wants to keep moving and rising up the ranks in Cleveland or in any other MLB franchise?
You know, I think just overall, just like continuing to fine tune himself and not be okay with what he has right now, just because, and he doesn't, like, he's one of those guys who's the most humble guy that could just sit there and compete and know that, like, oh, if I'm gonna get hit around, I'm gonna be better the next time, you know. He did that in 2022. He was a starter. He actually threw a game and he got hit. Actually, it was against Moose Jaw. He gave up 5 runs in like the second inning of that game. I remember it. And I pulled him out, and after kind of that, and he was like, he came up to me after the game. He goes, I'll never let you down again. And that was all he said. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't really think anything of it at that time. And he went on to like do what he did, and he became our closer, and you know, set you know, strikeout records, and help us to that championship that year. And then he started the first game. Even like last year, there's no intention for him to be on our team and stuff like that. And he was all preparing for the draft. And one thing he just did, and he's like, he talked to Lou, and Lou goes, hey, what do you think about starting opening night? And he goes, I'd love to. And he just went out there and just started opening night. And we're like, hey, you know, we want to go one inning, two innings. He goes, nah, I'll go 5. And he just went out and went 5 and just did it. So
just one of those guys that just wants to be out on the field and up on the bump. Walk us through maybe a lesson learned that can be learned for those young kids when they're looking up to Matt, especially those young academy kids that you've got going on in Okotoks. What are you telling them about Tugboat and what he's gone through? You've mentioned some of the things he's gone through over the course of his career. What are you telling them to kind of take away from what he's gone through?
I think he's humble. I think he's the most humble guy you'll ever meet. Like, he's not going to be a rah-rah guy. He's not going to talk about himself and stuff like that. He's going to go about his business like the right way. He's very much like a leader in that sense, where he doesn't have to talk when you need to get up. You see it a lot in high school and stuff like that. You always see the guy who's supposed to be the leader, like yelling at his teammates and stuff like that. Matt didn't really do that. He just kind of like, he goes about his business, like shows it on the field. But you knew when he spoke up in that moment, you knew people needed to listen. And, you know, I think that the way he handles that with his humbleness and humility and stuff like that is a point that all athletes need to make, even though, like, you know, the game's changed to where, like, you know, you want to bring in the fun and all that stuff, and still needs to be fun and with that game and stuff. But at the end of the day, like, the leaders like him and stuff like that, they set apart from everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Final question for you on this before we let you go back to teaching some classes here. How fun is it going to be over the next little while? A lot of people have to remind themselves that Tug's only 21. The world's his oyster at this point. So how much fun are you going to have watching him and his development over the next few years here?
Oh my God. I get excited every day, every fifth day. I can't wait for him to start every single day, like watching him develop and stuff like that. And, you know, and him coming back in his off season, he comes back to Okotoks and trains and works with the guys and stuff like that to show like, hey, I'm not, even though I'm working towards my goal and my dream, I'm still here for all you guys. And I feel like those are the things that like, you can't take away with players like that, you know, to the ability to like, even though he's going to hopefully reach the pinnacle of the sport. He still comes back to us on a Tuesday night and sits in the office with us and talks about ball and stuff like that and talks to you guys and is just an all-around good guy.
That's a great story to hear, especially the fact that he's willing to give back and give his time to Okotoks and the kids here. Joe, as always, really appreciate the insights. Thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
And our second guest this week is Baseball Alberta Women's Technical Coordinator and longtime coach Chris James. It's been a busy offseason for his staff as they try to get things ready for the coming year. That includes several ID camps in recent weeks to figure out who might be able to represent this province at the 14U, 16U, and Open National Championships later this summer. Alberta is coming off a great 2023, which featured a gold medal and two bronze medals in those tournaments, so the bar has been set high. But James not only believes it's attainable, but the future is also much brighter for the girls' game here in our province. Chris, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Joe, pleasure to be back.
You've been a busy traveler the last couple of weeks, especially getting to look at the talent across this province at Open ID camps. But it's been a busy winter as well for you as you've been visiting community associations and that kind of thing. What has been your main takeaway or some of those main takeaways that you've had as you've traveled from border to border to border to border over the last few months?
You know, it's funny because part of our mandate with the female program is obviously to start to work towards potential of all girls leagues. And I got to tell you, in 20 years, we've never been closer. There's everywhere I go for outreach, we call them outreach female camps, the numbers are bursting at the seams from Okotoks to Fort McMurray. Now they're just slowly getting the logistics part of it, and it is bursting at the seams. Barb Northcott, kudos to her. She's done such a good job really pushing this Alberta Girls League. And I think in the next few years, you'll be hearing how there's multiple teams at different levels and full-blown schedules. So my takeaway, it's amazing how many young female athletes, players are coming into these communities and slowly now starting to get the push and the confidence required to take next steps, and that just bodes well for female baseball in this province.
This might be a little bit like picking favorite kids for you, but is there an area of this province that's been doing exceptionally well on this front to maybe taking a bit of a leadership role and showing some of the other community associations that, hey, this isn't as arduous as you might think, and this might actually be a really good thing to build upon?
You know, honestly, I'll start by saying there's lots of communities in this province that are really starting to do a good job. I think one in particular that stands out to me is Beaumont. Beaumont Minor Baseball, which traditionally has not been a huge organization. They have a group there that have done fantastic work to really promote and push females, girls baseball in the greater Edmonton area. And from there, it's obviously Rocky Mountain House and Edson have also been a big part of the initial part of the league. But every time I turn around, Beaumont's doing something more for female participation, whether it's female coaches, obviously players, and you know, my own daughter just went out and spoke. They did a conference just to female coaches. My own daughter went out and spoke to them, and they're always doing something, and it shows. They have more female teams now than anywhere else in the province. So kudos to everyone in the province that's doing a great job, but a feather to in the cap for Beaumont, for sure.
It's so cool to be able to see the growth that way and maybe a turning of the tide to a certain extent. When it comes to the talent side of things, when you look across the board, are you noticing anything specific? Are you noticing maybe that we're exceptionally strong in one area, whether it be hitting or pitching or fielding? What is it that stands out on the talent side of things for you?
You know, that's an interesting question and something we've been talking about all week, because I guess for myself, I've been involved with the provincial team program since 2003 with the girls. So I've seen a lot over the last 20 years, and I'll say to you, is there one in particular area that we're really strong in? We're very balanced. We have some girls that can sure swing it. We have some players that can sure throw. And, you know, it's showing in our results, obviously, at the provincial team level and national championships, Western championships. But I will say this, coming out of COVID, our numbers were soft. They weren't where we wanted to be, but the talent was good. And so, of course, for provincial teams, that works, and they, no harm, no foul, they medal, and people take notice, and away we go. As we come year three back from out of COVID, the numbers are through the roof, Joe, and the talent is still more abundant than ever. And there's players that I know in my heart would have helped Team Alberta's in the past that just are going to come up short for making Team Alberta, because we finally are looking going, holy smokes, we're going to have to cut some really good players, which is a good problem to have and a bad problem to have. Mm-hmm. So the talent level is definitely as high as ever, but it's more abundant.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because we came out of an era with the Nikola Chanskys and the Kelsey Lallers and the Taras Lekanicis, and like there were those bread and butter players that were part of the team year after year after year, and there was this youth movement, to I'll call it that, to a certain extent, where once those players left the program, you have a bunch of players who've only been with you for 2-3 years, but they're really doing quite well already. Are you surprised at all at how that youth movement hasn't been like a full rebuild where you've struggled for a couple of years? Like it's actually kind of continued that tradition of success to a certain extent.
Yeah, that's, you know, I never looked at it that way, but obviously some of those players that you mentioned, I was very fortunate to work with when they were 12 and 13 years old, all the way up until they've graduated the programs. You know, I spent a lot of my focus at the 14 and the 16U, more of the get grassroots part of it, because I truly believe the open really takes care of itself. But as I went and did the open ID camps this year, I was kind of taken back how young our girls were. I'm like, oh, holy smokes. I think the rebuild, as you would say, when you have really strong 14 and 16 programs, the rebuild's not that difficult, because obviously we're competitive and meddling at those, so they're ready to graduate into the next level, and maybe lacking a little bit of experience, they catch up after a year of being there. So we've been really fortunate that the program is fed into the Women's Open. And you know, honestly, like the 21U is an event that we strategically have chose not to participate in, just for certain restraints and certain philosophies on the program. But with what we have now, we're I think next year you're going to see Alberta participate in that program for the first time, and those same ladies will go on to play in the Women's Open, just because you're right, we're very young, and we're very fortunate. We, like I say, talent is very high in the female program in this province. It can always use an abundance, and I'll tell you right now, with where the 16U group is this year, as they graduate, like, there's another run of Alberta athletes that I'm very high on that are going to be national team caliber players. So Women's Open's only going to get stronger and stronger over the next couple of years.
Well, and that's probably easy to say, let me rephrase that. It's probably easy to look into the crystal ball, too, when you think about how well, the 14U and 16U teams performed this last year. When you think about nationals and the 14U winning gold, 16U winning bronze, I mean, how excited are you to see those younger age groups have success? Because you know that they're going to be part of the core for future teams down the road, and not for a year or two, but for the foreseeable future.
Well, of course, when the portfolio for women's technical director is mine, it sure makes my job easier when the athletes really are very strong, and like anybody could do what I'm doing and have success with this group. Like, kudos to the players, to the associations that are helping develop these players, and I'm just the fortunate one that's been blessed that I get to work with them all. Kudos to this province. The reality is our province over the last 20 years is getting so much more complete, male and female, at development, and again, it shows in the female program. And you know, Joe, I'm not a stickler, but I'll tell you, it's 2 years in a row that the 14U won gold, mm-hmm. and the 16U went silver, bronze. So, like, you're right. Like, the reality is hence one of the reasons I'm saying now it's time to start participating in the 21U. Our numbers are warranting it. We have some really good athletes that aren't going to be able to play on a women's open team. They're in a transition to get there, and we have to keep things going for them. So the high performance in this province for girls programming is definitely in really, really, really good hands. I'm fortunate enough to see most of these females, and they love the game. So Alberta and the girls program is in a really good place. And, you know, part of our mandate going into COVID and coming out has been the grassroots, and it is slowly taking shape and form with, like, a hard work of, obviously, Barb and Baseball Alberta in particular's board, because they're really supporting the initiatives for us to get out and do outreach camps. And really, any time I can go into a place, whether it's Okotoks, Fort McMurray, wherever, and I can take former players or female players that it's just amazing how the girls start to really fall in love with our game and stay in it. And next thing you know, hence it's taking shape. And the good news is Barb's forcing us to always get better and better. So,
well, you segued really well into my natural follow-up question on that is, how key is it to have, you know, whether, I know you're coaching with Taris Lukanich this year for the 16U team, but to have those alumni, to have those voices and be those, I'll call it the inspirations for those young girls who are, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, to say, hey, you can be this one day. The whole you can see it, you can be it mentality is right in front of their eyes. Even as we were talking off air, you being able to bring your daughter along for the ride is pretty cool, to be able to give some insights into what the girls' game's all about.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I'm getting old now, and, you know, I always thought to myself, well, first and foremost, one of my strengths is I've been able to build really good relationships with my players. And again, hence I'm able to reach out to Terry and say, okay, motherhood aside now, are you able to come back and coach again? And of course, she's never been away from the game. But having her come back out, when I'm talking to the athletes, and now I can say, our pitching coach this year is Terry Sikonowicz, and here's her story. I'm irrelevant, and I think one of the biggest changes in the last probably 6 or 7 years have been that, I guess, our graduated players or our high performance players are giving back. They're learning to become coaches as we speak, and fortunately they have some experienced coaches around them to really help. So I think it's been pivotal. I think one of the reasons our successes have been what they have been is because we are officially making sure that our females are getting involved, and it's just making a more complete experience and complete program for the female program in Alberta. So
talk a little bit about that pipeline side of it, not just the individual part, but also the team aspect of it. When you've got a 14U team that does really well, they're probably wanting to stay together and be looking forward to that next level and maybe play together as a 16U. Talk about the cohesion and that kind of thing that having success allows you to have when you get to the 16U, potentially down the road, it sounds like a 21U team, and then obviously the open team.
You know, it's funny because I've been involved for quite a long time. I can go back to my 06 group, and I know that's a long time ago now. And when they won their first national championship, that's the same group that won a national championship for the most part in 2014. And ironically, everyone asked me, what's the most talented team you've ever coached? And everyone would think, oh, you're going to say that group. Well, no. What made that group even more special was how close those young ladies are today. And I can remember going to one of their, Tara in particular's wedding. And almost the entire group of girls was at that wedding. And I assure you, it was like almost 20 years later, from when they first played together. And ironically, the 14U groups that have just been successful the last few years, they've really bonded. And I, for the first time, I'm starting to see that natural bond between the team. And yeah, unfortunately, you might see a few of them come up short for Team Alberta as they move through the program. But again, it's no coincidence that we're having success at the 14U and 16U, and those players are all becoming extremely close.
Mm-hmm. Looking on a personal level, I suppose, obviously, as you mentioned, you've been a part of the game for quite a while now, and you're going to be the coach of the 16U team again this year. What's it mean to you to be able to keep wearing that A on the hat and the Alberta across the chest?
You know, it's funny because I'm often asked, like, why? And truthfully, like everyone, it's cool just to be able to work with a group of athletes that really want to get better and really want to accomplish something. So we fostered that in the program. And you know, I'm thankful that the province is, Baseball Alberta in particular, has kept me around. And, you know, it's the same reason that some of us fight so hard to work with the programs and go. So anytime we can, I think anyone, and, you know, going back to when I was on the Canada Summer Games in 2017 with Dwayne Waller and Harold, the reality is getting everybody to buy in that we're Alberta first, let's go. It's been the same mentality as we jump into the female game. So, you know, I don't know if it's something that I've really thought about. I just know in my heart this is where we call home, I don't know. I think over the years you're tired of hearing how strong BC or Ontario or Quebec is in particular. And, you know, we just take a lot of pride in the fact that we're from Alberta. It's something to be pretty proud of. And let's face it, on the male and female side, Alberta baseball in general has improved greatly over the last 5 to 10 years. So I think, like everyone that represents it, it's for pure love of the game, and because we call Alberta home, we want to make darn sure that we're as good as anyone.
When you think back on evolution of baseball in this province, especially over the last 20 years, say, what's impressed you the most? What do you think has been sort of the thing that we can hang our hat on and go, this is how we got it done?
Development. I look today compared to 20 years ago, and I see the amount of people that are coaching and getting involved, and whether it's academy-based or just your local community-based, it just seems that the coaching is so much better. I think what makes me most proud to see a lot of the younger coaches is it's cool. Whether they're making a bit of money doing it or not, the fact is so many more people are giving back to our game. And the evolution and why Alberta continues to get, I think, stronger and stronger is because there's more and more really strong baseball people getting involved in youth sport. And that's the reality. It's no longer when we go to a game and you're coaching and you know going in there that you're probably going to get a 2 or 3 run bump just because you're going to be able to out-coach everybody. Well, the reality is everyone's, like, I'm just from experience, I'm telling you, everyone's now got very, very good coaching. It's improved immensely over the last 20 years. And kudos to even our coach development programs. I'm not sure if that's why or if it's just because kids are actually giving back now that are finished playing college or pro ball or whatever, but that's the biggest thing I notice is the development all around. Like just going and watching a ball game now, you can just tell that they know how to play the game. Whereas 20 years ago, there's kids that are extremely talented, but you can just tell they weren't taught the game like they are today.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're teaching the athletes, but as somebody who's been around the game for as long as you've been, there's also that mentor aspect for those young coaches who are just getting into the game. So when they're leaning on you for that knowledge and that wisdom, what kinds of advice are you giving to them to be successful at coaching, be it the girls game or the boys game?
Yeah, you know, it's the greatest part about dealing with a lot of these great baseball kids that are coming in. I don't think their struggles are so much with the technical side as much as learning to deal with the off-field and managing some of that. So with that being said, I think the biggest thing that we are able to mentor onto these new, very up-and-talented coaches, just basically how to deal with the athletes and how to deal with the families and the off-field pressures that come. Because let's face it, you want to coach baseball, it's more than just teaching the game. It's building relationships with your athletes, making sure you know how to handle parents professionally enough to keep them at bay so that you can make a great experience and ultimately develop your players. So I think it's funny because we talked about this fairly recently, and I'm very fortunate in one of the associations that I deal with pretty regularly, Parkland. I have some young coaches that are coaching like our Bale team and stuff like that. And the biggest mentorship that I think us experienced coaches are giving them are more of, hey, understand what your relationship should look like with your players. Understand how to deal with your parents. Because it's, like I said, the players are coming back that really know this game at the highest levels for sure and starting to give back. So the best advice that I think mentorship can give right now is, the most anyway, is definitely dealing with all that other stuff that really can make or break a season for a team.
Looking at it through a coach's lens, what's your favorite part of the gig?
You know, it's funny because this question's been asked me, and I can't answer that because I just love baseball, and I've been very fortunate to be able to give back. And for me, development now, as I get older, I just absolutely love seeing a kid that doesn't even know they're in love with the game fall in love with the game. And for me, that's probably the most rewarding thing now. It's absolutely amazing to see kids just fall in love with the game and teaching the game. So anytime you can develop and help a kid get better and not even know what they're doing, and next thing you know, all they want to do is stay in baseball, it's pretty rewarding.
Mm-hmm. A couple more for you before we let you go. Yeah. What advice do you have to those young girls specifically who are just starting out in the game? Like we've been talking, you've been down at the grassroots level, chatting with those kids at the community association level. They want to take their game to that next level. They want to be on a provincial team down the road. So what's that one? I know that there's a lot of advice you can give, but what's that one piece that you hope they take away from you?
Just go for it. Don't be scared. Just go for it. It's amazing if you decide you want something and you're willing to do the work. Just go for it, and nothing can stop them. And I'll tell you, Joe, that's the biggest thing that we're seeing right now is we see these female players that are starting to do more. Of course, from a coach's perspective, I'd like to see them even do more, but they're doing more than ever before. They're reaching out. What do I have to do to get help? Who can I get help from? And just go for it. And again, it's so important that we're creating good environments for male or females, for that matter, when they're young. And when you do that, then they get that love for the game. And now when they see a Tara, Sydney Moore, Madison Willen, anywhere, the bottom line is they just they look up to them. And how can I be here? Just go for it. And I'm seeing it more and more. I'm seeing the numbers are up for the ID camps throughout the province. And, as much as we always say communication, we've got to keep getting the word out, make sure everybody knows about it. That's part of it. Well, when the girls are now going looking for it too, it's a heck of a lot easier to get that information out. And so if something gets caught in somebody's email and a certain group doesn't hear about it soon enough, well, it's funny because someone from that area has already been looking and, hey, ID camps are coming up. So I'm seeing it. The numbers are higher than ever at the 14U, which is fantastic because traditionally it's been the starting point and then girls get involved as they get a little older. Well, I'm telling you right now, Alberta's planning on running two 14U provincial teams for the Western Canada Championships this year, and it'll be the first time we've ever been able to field two 14U teams. Of course, we host in Alberta this year, so it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool because the numbers warrant it.
Very cool.
And the talent.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you mentioned Sydney Moore, and we just to kind of go back on that point about it's not just those who have graduated, but Sydney's one of those who's still in the thick of her own playing career, and she's involved in the community level, and she's also helping you coach as well. What's it mean to you to have those young athletes who are still in the midst of their own grind trying to give back in any way they can?
You know, it's funny because the more female mentors that we help develop as their playing days come to an end, it just means that our female programs can be in really good hands as we move forward. So I can speak to Sydney in particular. I've seen and done some camps with her over the last 3 or 4 years, and you know, this past winter, I guess February, I did some camps with her in Okotoks, and she'll continue to help in the program around playing, but she's going to finish her career off as a player first. And I'll tell you, like, I was quite impressed. She's developed tons as a coach, and I made sure she knew that. So the reality is, it's what it's proving to me in particular is that if we can get those 19, 20-year-old players that are getting to a certain point at a crossroads in their own playing careers, involved in the programming as a mentor, as a coach, coming out and just helping even at camps, it starts to develop them, and as their playing careers wind down, they still have a place in the game, and in turn, that's just going to make darn sure that more and more females continue to play this game and realize there's something there for them. So, kudos to her. She's really worked hard to continue to get better as a coach.
Mm-hmm. Final question for you, Chris. It's one we ask everybody here on the show. What does the game of baseball mean to you?
Oh, it's funny. The game of baseball has been so much, it's shaped so much in my life, my kids' life, and obviously, the reality is, like I say, we just love baseball, period. So it's definitely up there in the order of the most important things in my life. So there you go.
Well, that's fantastic stuff, and really appreciate being able to dive deep into the girls and women's game here in this province, because only big things ahead, I think. So, Chris, really appreciate the time. Congrats on the success to this point, continued success in 2024 and beyond. And again, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Joe, thank you very much. We really appreciate your support with the girls' program as well.
Thanks again to Joe Surgeon and Chris James for joining us this week, and thanks to all of you for downloading and listening. If you like this or any other episode, make sure to leave us a rating and review on your app of choice, and make sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. We've already started team previews for the upcoming Western Canadian Baseball League season up on our website, and we are setting the wheels in motion for a WCBL season preview extravaganza here on the show. Stay tuned for details on that to come soon. A tip of the cap, as always, to our platinum supporters, the Okotoks Dogs, for all they do for us and for baseball in Alberta. Their support allows us to cover costs like web hosting fees and online newspaper subscriptions. If you'd like to join our roster of teammates, head to albertadugoutstories.com/supporters. Until next time, thank you for all of your support online, on social, and on air of Alberta Dugout Stories.